This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of August, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain markets with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies will be along with a look at today's agricultural weather forecast, and we'll hear how the price of farmland may not be at as much risk as you think with the drop in commodity prices. And we'll do that all during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media, Biz Public Radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this 25th day of August. September corn futures today at $3.60 were down 5.5 cents. December 367.5, 4 lower, and the March at 380.5 down 3.75. May futures at 388.5 down 3.5 cents, and July of next year 395.5 down 3. December corn $4.09. This is for 2015 down 2 cents from the soy complex. Nearby bean futures at $11.25.75 down 40.25 today. November at 10.29.25, 12.75 lower, and January at 10.36 down 12.75. The March futures 10.42.5 down 12.5 cents, and May at 10.47.75, 11.75 lower. November at next year at $10.39.5 down 8.5 cents. Bean meal futures finished the nearby down $27.20, and the bean oil finished 38 cents higher. Livestock futures finished up the August contract in the live cattle at $152.70. That's up 85 for the day. October at 148.17.5, $1.17.5 higher. The August feeder cattle at 217.37.5 were up $1.27.5, and the September 213.22.5, $2.32.5 higher for the afternoon. October at 211.80, up $2.32.5 as well. October lean hogs 55 cents higher at $93.42.5 on this Monday afternoon. December at $87.90, up 75 cents. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. In the nearby crude oil futures, trade at $93.35 a barrel, down 30 cents for the afternoon. The diesel fuel is trading $2.83.7. That's 9.2 cents higher. In gasoline, and the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $2.75.2. And that's up a penny and 4 cents on the afternoon. Ethanol futures trading $2.15.3. A penny and 9 cents lower. Natural gas on the day at $3.93.9, up 9.9 cents. Taking a look at the outside markets, Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,064, up 71 points at this hour. Gold futures trading at this hour, the October contract at $1,278, and that's just about a buck lower. And the dollar index at 82.59 is up 0.21 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign
area. You're listening to the Closing
on this afternoon. We're going to take a look at the nearby. It's sunny skies and 93 degrees, a heat index value of about 106 out, partly cloudy this evening, and 72 on a south wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. And then on Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, and a high of 94 degrees. Tuesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 71. And Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and 87 degrees. On Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 67. And a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Thursday, partly sunny, and 83 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 66 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check now the futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. How are you today?
Hot and steamy. Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, hot and steamy, I suppose that works. And boy, it's tough out there. But despite the fact that it's hot and steamy, the marketplace did not react very well, especially in the soybeans for the day. What happened?
Yeah, not a hot commodity market for corn and beans. Basically, just anticipation that the crop's going to be coming at us fairly soon here. Not as soon as what we're accustomed to, but it's on its way. Favorable forecast for the crop has still got some growing left to it through here with warmer temperatures and a lot more moisture. Harvest activity is picking up in the south and on east of us. The yield reports are coming in strong for Mississippi beans, anywhere from 75, 90 bushels to the acre. Some dry land corn in Kansas, typically 100 bushels the acre, is coming in 180 bushels. You know, you can go on and on. Missouri, strong yields. Missouri last year, 75, 80 bushels, and they're anywhere from 180 to 200 bushels. On this real early stuff, so the list goes on and on and on, and the absence of any real strong demand right here at the moment just sort of put the market in a little bit of a selling mode today. I imagine we'll see some recovery here tomorrow into Wednesday, but not as much as what we wanted to do to get higher for additional sales.
Were you surprised that the September contract on the soybeans broke as hard as it did today?
Well, I was in a sense, from the standpoint, you know, we're trying to move from old crop to new crop, and the old crop's still relatively strong demand, but meal basis just backed away real strong. Meal demand just fell off the cliff and through here. It kind of indicates that end users are maybe looking at some downtime, for say, until plentiful supplies of new crop come in. And with some early harvest activity taking place in the south, we're sort of doing away with that strong demand for old crop beans in through here. So therefore, the spreads did collapse in through here, and look for basis levels probably start backing off in some areas.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week for the corn and the beans?
Well, I think we're going to consolidate somewhat, maybe drift lower. I expect a little recovery in through here, but the trade's going to need some bullish news to go higher and maintain a higher move. I imagine we'll see some Asian business surface here on this break, but for the most part in through here, we're on the time window where it's just awful hard to get a substantial up here with harvest just around the corner.
What are your expectations for the livestock side of the marketplace?
Well, that's a good question. We're seeing some stabilization. They've sold off hard in through here. I don't, like I told Dave this morning, I don't expect ribeyes to be on sale anytime soon. I think the beef sector is just going to remain somewhat strong. We're still seeing the slaughter estimates 7% below a year ago level. We lost a little bit of demand in through there, but as long as numbers stay tight, it's just going to take some time. For hogs, I think demand's going to start picking back up. The big thing there is probably tomatoes. They were late this year, and so we're late getting the bacon-less tomato craving going. And as tomatoes come on through here, I think bellies is going to help the pork complex move higher.
All right, and then in the next several weeks, so you'll be out at least once, I think, with me on the farm credit meetings. I'm kind of looking forward to those. I'm looking forward to having you and a whole series of our analysts along with us. I hope you'll be ready to head out and do a good show with us.
Always enjoy going out and doing the meetings. Always receive some real good questions. It's always an interesting evening whenever we are together, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
You too. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Just as a reminder, if you'd like to find Kurt again, you can do that on our website at WILL.com. AG.org. And when you're there, if you click on the Outlook meetings calendar, which is over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll find a whole list of all the kinds of places we'll be in the next 3 weeks. We're out a whole bunch in the evenings with not only the brokers and analysts you hear regularly on the air here, but the ag economists, too, that you hear on a regular basis. Gary Schnittke and Jonathan Kappas, one of the two of them, will be out with us to take up the ARC, that's the ARC and PLC program, which are part of the new farm bill. You probably, if you're a landowner or farmer, have been asked to update your base acres and your yields. If you want to know what that means and what the new programs look like and what the potential for those programs to aid producers in tough years might be, you might visit our website at willag.org. We'll be in Sherman tomorrow night. That one's at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's an RSVP only, and it's already filled up. More than 150 are signed up there. And then down at the Seed Shed in Ashmore on Wednesday night. And that is at 5 o'clock. You can contact, I believe, the Office of Farm Credit Illinois in Paris if you're interested in going to that one. And then the following week, we're out in Watsika and here in Mahomet. And I'll host Purdue's Agronomy Day on Friday of next week. Not this week, but next week. And way down in Sumner, Illinois. So a whole lot of things are happening. And we look forward to having you along on one of those programs. Now, up next, Dave Dickey is here with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the White House Office of Management and Budget is finally reviewing EPA's final renewable fuel standard volume requirement rule for 2014. EPA sent the final rule to the OMB for interagency review on August 22nd. That's typically the last step before the rule is published in the Federal Register. EPA said it has received 340,000 comments on the rulemaking. While some sources say the final rule will not likely come until after the November elections, some are not ruling out a September announcement after OMB has about a month to review EPA's proposal. The initial proposed EPA rule met with a lot of controversy, as it only proposed 13.01 billion gallons for corn-based ethanol for 2014 and 1.28 billion gallons for biodiesel. Sources since then have signaled that the final corn-based ethanol volume could be at or around 13.6 billion gallons, with biodiesel at or around 1.48 billion gallons. The World Trade Organization has ruled that several import restrictions imposed by Argentina violated global trade rules. The 170-page ruling largely focuses on the case brought by the European Union, United States, and Japan in 2012. The measures include requirements that all imports are balanced by exports and accompanied by investments into the country. Argentina imposed limits on the volume and price of imports. Argentina has 60 days to decide whether to appeal the WTO ruling. John Deere has unveiled another round of layoffs as the company continues to scale back agricultural equipment production amid weaker demand. Deere says that it will lay off 460 employees indefinitely at its Waterloo, Iowa operations. The announcement comes just a week after the company said it would lay off more than 600 factory employees at operations in Illinois, Iowa, and Kansas. The company also has said it will also start seasonal and inventory adjustment shutdowns and temporary layoffs at several of those affected factories. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You can always find us online at willag.org. When you're there, please do visit the Outlook Meetings calendar link over on the right-hand side of the page. When you do, you'll find our list of fall meetings, including a series that we'll be doing in concert with the Farm Credit Illinois offices throughout the southern part of the state, starting tomorrow evening in Sherman, Illinois. 150 people already scheduled to be at that meeting in the Farm Credit Illinois office, Sherman, Illinois. That's near Springfield. Jonathan Kappas will be along with me tomorrow night. He'll help us take a look at the new farm program, the ARC and PLC decision producers will have to make sometime in the next 6 months or so. And then we'll be in Ashmore, Illinois at the Seed Shed on Wednesday evening. That's at 5 o'clock. Gary Schnitke will be there this time to take up ARC and PLC. Wayne Nelson and Jackie Vakes along for the ag panel on that one. Next week, we'll be in Watsika on Wednesday night at 4:30 in the afternoon. Steve Freed, Bill Gentry, and Jackie Vakes will be with us there. And then here in Mahomet, close to Champaign-Urbana on Thursday evening, September the 4th, for a meal at 6 o'clock, Jonathan Kappas, Ellen Dearden, and Jason Clapp will be along. That's just a, kind of the beginning of our meeting schedule. You can find it all online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, landowners, well, they're a lot worried these days about how much their farms are worth. I'll have more on how the downturn in commodity prices may not exactly signal a big setback in the price of farmland. Farms in the United States have grown dramatically in value since 2006. This rapid push upward coincided with a huge increase in the price of commodities grown on farms throughout the nation, and specifically in the Midwest. Prior to 2006, a high price for corn might be above $3 a bushel. It topped out at $8 since then, and the $3 mark, well, that's a guaranteed loss for a farmer, most likely. However, farmers are looking at $3 corn today, even some $2 corn prices. Naturally, they are concerned the price of one of their biggest assets might fold, too. However, Bruce Sherrick is not nearly so concerned. He works at the Center for Farmland Research at the University of Illinois.
We can't find that there's a direct link, as some people might guess, for a couple of reasons. First of all, because higher yields result in lower prices, the product of which is revenue, may not have moved as much as just the yield or price side alone. But more importantly, the income expectations farmers have about land over the long run aren't changed completely just by 1 year's experience. So a common thing to do when you're looking at the value of an asset is to say, what income can it generate through time, and what would I pay for that sequence of income realizations through time?
Here's what that statement means. Farmers, while they have bid up the price of farmland, seem to have underpriced it in the highest commodity price era, with the understanding it would not be that valuable over the long haul.
Very much like you would think of the P.E. ratio in the stock market or any other financial investment. If you simply said, what would the implied value of farmland be if the income that was realized was permanent? In other words, if we were going to get that forever at the same rate under today's conditions. So a common cap rate we use, or capitalization rate we use, is the 10-year CMT. This is not to suggest that farmland is a 10-year risk-free investment like the 10-year CMT or the constant maturity treasury rate is, but they proxy well for each other empirically through time. So if you divide the income that farmland generates by that interest rate, or get the number of times you would pay, in a sense, for permanent income, what you discover is the implied rate of farmland is actually higher than the farmland values that we observe at sale.
This isn't to say the price of farmland won't drop, but rather that the risk of a major decrease is not nearly so linked to the lower price of commodities. This is because the farmland was likely purchased with a lower price in mind. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, of course, You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us today is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks so much for being with us. How are farmers reacting to the drop that they see in the marketplace today?
Been the last 3 or 4 weeks, just not translating into much farmer movement and farmer selling at all. I think they're hoping against hope that that there's something friendly out there that will cause a little bit of a bounce. And I think if we did see a little bounce, maybe they would reward the market. But unfortunately, we just haven't seen much of a bounce lately.
Any expectation that there will be a bounce? Is the weather causing enough problems that the trade might get worried about the marketplace? Did the rainfall over the weekend do most of the business? As we looked at the lower prices today, what really did happen?
Yeah, I think the rain was probably the biggest thing. The pro farmer final numbers were about as expected, not super bearish. I mean, they confirmed that we've got a good crop, and now the function of the market is to see whether we can generate some demand at these lower prices. That hasn't happened yet, but everybody's hopeful that maybe we'll see that. But that's probably a post-harvest thing, not a pre-harvest thing. So it still feels like the market's probably going to work a little bit lower, unless something really changes drastically with the weather. Some areas did not get much rain, so we did see some areas that could still use some rain. But in general, I'd say 80% of the Corn Belt, if not 90, probably got some rain. And a lot of those areas got over a half inch of rain. Some places got too much rain. But between the rain that fell last week and the chances of rain this week, that definitely was not a positive factor in the marketplace today. And I think that's really what the market is focused on right now, is trying to finish out this crop. If we can get one or two more rains, I think people will feel very confident that the beans bean yield will be up there close to a record level.
Did the bean yield or bean basis break very much today?
Not yet, no. For the next 20 days, probably 20, 25 days, the amount of new crop beans are going to be limited to what's down in the southern part of the United States. So bean basis up here in the Midwest is still very strong. You know, that eventually we know that'll come together, old and new will come together, but that's probably still 30 days away. So bean basis will start to ease at some point in time, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah, I do have a question on the sentence you just gave me. What's available in the southern part of the United States? Is that new crop or old crop supplies, or both?
That's new crop. They have started harvesting down in Mississippi, Louisiana, places like that. So we are starting to hear some early bean results, and some of that's irrigated ground, some of that's non-irrigated ground, but they did receive a lot of rain this summer as well. So their bean yields so far, and it's very, very early, you know, a couple percent done, but early bean results are very good down there.
Are beans available in the elevators or in bins here in our part of the world, and will they have to hunt before we get to harvest, which is probably at least a month away, I would think?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. There's very few beans. We've had a big $2-plus inverse in the old crop, new crop bean price for some time now. So the market told the farmers to move their beans and not hold on to them through an inverse. And so the farmers did what was the right thing to do. They sold them before the inverse got away. So there's very few old crop beans left. And so the processors that still need beans are either going to have to source them from South America, the southern United States, or they're going to have to take some downtime and just shut down for 3 or 4 weeks until the new crop bean supply is available.
And so it means really big pops in the basis, but they will be localized as opposed to widespread. Is that correct?
That's correct. And if you wait 2 weeks too long or a week too long, the processor, once he gets his needs covered or decides he can't cover anything and just shuts down, then, you know, bean basis locally can drop overnight. So it's really hard to try to hang out for the very last dollar if you've still got old crop beans. I think locking in
support for WILL, levels,
you know, it may go a little bit higher for a week or two, but over time it's going to go lower. So
we
got to
go.
Locked in.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Todd.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Banana Split Day. It's also Feast of St. Louis the Ninth, patron of distillers. On this day in agricultural history in 1840, Joseph Gibbons received a patent for a seeding machine. In 1900, Sir Hans Adolf Krebs was born, a German-born British biochemist. He received the Nobel Prize for the discovery in living organisms of the series of chemical reactions known as the citric acid cycle, the basic system for the essential pathway of oxidation within the cell. In 1921, Peter Cooper Hewitt died, an American electrical engineer. He invented the mercury vapor lamp, an important forerunner of fluorescent lamps. And in 1935, Curtis Fletcher Marbot died, an American geologist and one of the founders of modern soil science. He taught geology at the University of Missouri while also working for the Missouri Geological Survey and directing the Missouri Soil Survey. In 1910, he left Missouri and he was the soil scientist for the U.S. Bureau of Soils for the balance of his life. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Of course, we're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Monday afternoon. We always check with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies to see what's been up with the weather forecast. On the phone line is Mark Russo. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Good, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well. Can you tell me about this rainfall that we got over the weekend, how widespread it was, and what it means to the crops?
Yeah, well, certainly it was a big plus to the crops here, particularly in the driest part of the Midwest, which was northern half or so of Illinois into eastern Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin. Within that driest pocket, we saw rainfall totals range from around half an inch on the lighter side to over 2 inches on the heavier side, even some isolated heavier amounts. So, you know, the rains that fell, especially on Saturday and then overnight last night into this morning, that did hit some of the driest acreage. And for those areas that did still happen to miss out with rain over the weekend, the pattern here coming up not only this week but in next week as well just features more opportunities here for rain, as the overall pattern is very favorable for shower and thunderstorm development at times.
And while we're suffering some real heat at the moment, Scuttlebutt suggests that some of the trade is worried that there might be cold air that moves in through the northern part of the United States, as it has already, and caused some problems. What do you think?
We don't see it being problematic. Yeah, you do have unseasonably cool weather moving in right now that came in from Canada, even up in Canada, in some of the northern most acreage there of the spring wheat and canola. Your temperatures did not get down to problematic levels. It was close. You did have readings down into the mid-30s Fahrenheit, but you didn't have any kind of hard freeze, and you need a hard freeze at this time of year for there to be any kind of issues. This cool weather here will be in the process of a retreating here, and we do not see any other significant air masses coming down the pipeline over the next couple of weeks, and so we have no concerns from a cold weather threat here, either in the Midwest or even up north into Canada through the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then if you take a look at around the rest of the globe, in particular in China, are they suffering problems or not?
Well, they are in areas of the North China Plain, southern Manchuria. That's dryness over the past several weeks, along some heat, has begun to increase crop stress there, likely hurting more soybeans than corn. But does look like as we go into the next week, approximately a week from now, that rainfall prospects significantly improve for the driest acreage in China. So some stabilization, even some crop condition improvement here as we go into the early part of September.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies, joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon to talk about the weather forecast. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. We also post some news items there, and you'll find if you look on the Outlook Schedules link on the right-hand side of the page, all of the meetings we'll be doing over the evening hours in the next 3 weeks, along with Gary Schnitke and Jonathan Kappas. Some of the brokers you hear on the air with us will be in Sherman tomorrow, Ashmore on Wednesday, and several other places. Check it out at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.